We're following all of the developing news out of Washington today. Behind closed doors, members of Congress are hearing from the inspector general who labeled a whistleblower's complaint urgent because it alleged presidential abuse of power in a phone call with the leader of Ukraine. And the White House has said it would send a letter demanding that House Democrats hold a vote on impeachment before it turns over more information to them about that call.
And today, the president, who showed flashes of anger this week over the mounting impeachment inquiry, said there was no quid pro quo in newly released text messages. Those messages between U.S. diplomats appear to show the top Trump administration officials pressuring Ukraine to investigate Joe Biden as a condition of winning presidential meetings and military aid. President Trump saw it differently.
I'm only interested in corruption. I don't care about politics. I don't care about Biden's politics. I never thought Biden was going to win, to be honest. I picked somebody else a long time ago, and we'll see what happens.
Let's bring in our Friday Politics Roundtable. We've got Aisha Roscoe, NPR White House reporter. Hi, Aisha.
Hello.
And Chad Bergram, senior Capitol Hill producer for Fox News. Chad, good to speak with you.
Hi there.
And
thanks for having me.
Yeah, sure. And let's start with you, Chad. A string of headlines this week has just been completely ceaseless. What was the most important thing that you learned this week?
Well, I think that the thing that we haven't seen yet might be the most important thing, the fact that there's going to be this letter to the Speaker of the House from the administration saying we're not going to comply with any of your demands. You know, there was a deadline that the committee chairs, the triumvirate of committee chairs that are looking into impeachment here, that had set for today that they were going to issue subpoenas today. The other thing here is that Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, was supposed to comply with another set of subpoenas for documents. And the fact that the administration is saying, look, you know, the fact that you have not approved a formal process on the floor to set up an impeachment inquiry, we're not going to comply.
Chad, why do they want that? Why is it important that they have a full vote?
The Constitution is pretty vague on this. Article 1, Section 2 says the House shall have the sole power of impeachment. Nancy Pelosi says she doesn't need it. What Republicans are trying to do is use this as a weaponized vote against Democrats from swing districts to say, look, you voted to start an impeachment inquiry, and maybe target them in the 2020 election. That's an effort there to sideline that. And they're saying they're not going to play ball unless they get that. And we don't think they might play ball anyway.
Yeah, Chad, Pelosi has said that for decades, impeachment investigations have frequently been conducted without a full vote. But I want to talk a little bit about these text messages. And Aisha, let's go through them really quickly. One of the most notable is an exchange between two American diplomats. One of them says, quote, I think it's crazy to withhold security assistance for help with a political campaign. The other response is the president has been crystal clear, no quid pro quo of any kind. That diplomat then suggests the two talk rather than text. There's no specific mention of Joe Biden or his son Hunter in these text messages, but I want to know from you what's been the consensus. Is this evidence of quid pro quo or not?
Well, it would probably depend on who you ask, but whatever it is, it doesn't look great for this administration. So when you have someone, a respected top diplomat in this area, saying it's crazy to withhold security assistance for help with a political campaign, that's the type of text that you don't want being sent within your administration. Like, that just looks bad. No matter who, what party or what have you, the fact that this is someone, that this was a concern that someone within this administration had, makes it seem as if that whistleblower complaint has had some relevance, and that what the whistleblower was, the concerns that he was raising, were also being reflected within members of the administration.
Chad, I want to get your response in on this as well.
Well, that's why it's so important to hear from the Inspector General for the Intelligence Community, Mike Atkinson, today. You know, he was in on the 19th of September. They brought him back in before the committee today, the Intelligence Committee, because, you know, he is the one who targeted this as urgent, and they haven't heard from him since. That's why this is so important. And you know, I think, you know, Aisha's right there. You know, the fact that there was concern, at least by somebody, in the case of Bill Taylor here, that says a lot. This is why members of Congress, from both parties are pretty serious about this, trying to get to the bottom of this. Something I think is important is to note how this investigation has shifted toward the Intelligence Committee. Adam Schiff appeared with Nancy Pelosi at her press conference this past week. And back when I was in college, I had two very good political science professors, Bill Jackson and Dan Jacobs at Miami of Ohio. And they were both criminologists. And they talked about always watch at the May Day parade who is standing next to the general secretary, because that tells you a lot who's in power. And just the fact that Adam Schiff was there with Nancy Pelosi and not Jerry Nadler tells you a lot about the investigation. Now, we'll hear from Jerry Nadler again, the chair of the Judiciary Committee, down the road, because he will, in fact, have to write the articles of impeachment. But this goes into creating this case that's saying you're not complying with these requests for documents and testimony, and that could go into an obstruction of Congress article of impeachment. We had that in 1974 by the Judiciary Committee with respect to President Nixon.
On the issue of these text messages, Republican Jim Jordan doesn't think they reveal anything. I want to play this. Here he is on Fox News last night talking about the text messages and yesterday's closed-door hearings where they first surfaced.
I hope every American gets a chance to read what took place in that room today, because when they do, they will see there is no quid pro quo. They will see exactly what President Trump and President Zelensky was going on between these two countries. And they'll see what a good ambassador, what a good diplomat Kurt Volker was, Ambassador Volker, and the people who worked with him.
Aisha, why do you think that Republicans and Democrats are reading the exact same text messages and they were in the exact same meeting, but they're interpreting it completely differently?
Well, I don't want to say that politics may be involved, but politics may be involved. This is D.C. But Republicans are looking at this, and I'm sure that what they would want to focus on is that response text message that said you're incorrect about President Trump's intentions and that this was not some type of, that they weren't pressuring Ukraine to conduct a political investigation. They want to focus on that text message, and Democrats are going to focus on the it's crazy that to withhold security assistance. So it's kind of what do you want to focus on when it comes to this? And Republicans right now are saying they are going to stick with the president and they are going to stick with this administration, and that they feel like that he didn't do anything inappropriate.
Let's talk a little bit about 2020. Last week, Joe Biden snapped at reporters asking about his Ukraine dealings. In Reno, Nevada on Wednesday, however, Biden took Trump head on. Let's listen.
Now, let me make something clear to Mr. Trump and his hatchet men and the special interests funding his attacks against me. I'm not going anywhere. You're not going to destroy me, and you're not going to destroy my family.
Chad, we've kind of been quiet on Biden, but has this past week raised serious questions about him or not?
Well, it raises questions because the president, and we've heard this from the administration and the campaign before, that they thought that, he might be the toughest to beat. They can, portray this narrative of Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren as being too far left or socialist. But when you get to those mainstream Democrats or maybe suburban independent voters or women, that Biden might be the tough one. And so that's where some people is, Aisha said, oh, my goodness, we're shocked. It's about politics, that people might say, all right, they're going in that direction. The problem here for every presidential candidate on the Democratic side of the aisle is that we are being consumed by impeachment right now, and it's hard to get any other message out and have any other narrative. And if you're not in that top tier right now, you're probably not going to break through, number one. Number two, this, changes the contours of the race, and nobody knows what that means. Is it fatal for Biden just because President Trump and this whole milieu about impeachment is keeping this in the news every day? We just don't know. I mean, and I say that not as an off-the-cuff remark. People truly don't know where this is going to wind up.
Right. Well, and Aisha, let's take a look at those fundraising numbers that we're starting to see roll in. Joe Biden raised $15 million in the third quarter. Not good compared to his rivals anyways. This morning we hear that Elizabeth Warren raised almost $25 million. That's about what Bernie Sanders raised. Even Pete Buttigieg took in more than $19 million. So it looks like Biden's falling behind. We don't know if it's because of this, but he's certainly, at least in this category, losing a little bit of ground.
Yeah, so this is, I mean, I would think that the Biden campaign would want to have better fundraising numbers than this. Certainly, these numbers coming out are helpful to Sanders, to Warren, to Buttigieg, who really hasn't been doing that great in the polls. To have that money, to have these resources behind them is very helpful at this point. But Biden, I think there is a real question of what's going to happen. Is this going to benefit him trying to go toe-to-toe with President Trump, him being the target of President Trump, or is this idea that there could be some cloud over him because of his son's dealings in Ukraine and other places that people may say, you know what, let's leave that alone and let's focus on an Elizabeth Warren or a Bernie Sanders. Yeah. This could be a moment for them.
And one thing I just want to note, Bernie Sanders apparently will take part in the upcoming debate later this month, even though he had that heart procedure this week. So we'll see how he does. Ayesha Roscoe, NPR White House reporter, and Chad Pergram with Fox News. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.